The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Bartlestone. We're so happy you've joined us. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Bartlestone.
Hey there, and welcome to the show tonight. I am so glad that you're hanging out with me for a while. Well, you know, it's finally 2012, and I hope it's going to be a year of revitalization for you. Of the flesh, if you're hurting, of the spirit if you're suffering, and if neither of those applies to you, I hope it's a year in which you appreciate your many blessings. For me, three words represent my state of mind at this time of new beginnings: miracles, redemption, and renewal. And tonight, I'm speaking with three men who epitomize those words. They're all ex-cons who went into the criminal justice systems as bad guys and are now productive citizens, inspiring other people and not just ex-cons to do the same. This is particularly hopeful to me because it's estimated that two-thirds of ex-offenders will relapse back to a life of crime after they're released from prison. Well, this is Susan Bartlestone coming to you live from New York City, wishing you a belated Happy New Year. And I hope tonight's show gives all the crime survivors that I know listen to me out there even some small consolation that some of the bad guys are really trying to make amends. My first guest has been on the show with me a number of times since 2008, and I've invited him to come on as my partner in crime tonight and co-host the show with me. Convicted of armed robbery, Larry Lawton spent 11 years in some of the toughest federal prisons in the country. He was tortured. He was put into solitary confinement for months at a time because he spoke up about prison abuses. But he came out a changed man, and he founded the Reality Check program, which has affected thousands of troubled youngsters so far. He's told his story on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, The Huckabee Show, and he's been a guest, as I said, many times on Crime Prevention 101, and I consider him a friend now. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure having you with me. All right, Larry, let's start at the beginning for those that don't know. Talk a little bit about your past, when you got into trouble, what kind of crimes you were involved with, and your prison experience.
Sure, Susan. I was a convicted of Hobbs Act, which is racketeering, organized crime. I was the biggest jewel robber in the country at the time, $15 million in diamonds. I ended up doing four 12-year sentences in federal prison. I didn't use a gun. I used a BB gun, so there was no gun involved in the robberies. Right. I ended up going to prison and spending 12 years. 3 years of that 12 was in the hole, 11 straight months in the hole, and I was abused and actually strapped down naked and urinated on by guards. Mm-hmm. What has happened now, Susan, is I tell people around the country when I speak that I put myself in prison. I don't blame the system. I don't blame, of course, I feel for the victims. That's why you and I get along so well. I'm trying mm-hmm. to prevent further victims. I'm trying to prevent people from doing crimes and going down that path. And your show really helps in that, you know, and I'm so happy to be here. But that's in a nutshell of what I've done. Now I've developed the Reality Check program, which is, you know, nationally known, as you said.
And I want to talk about that, but just real quick, what do you think it was that made you change and you knew you were not going to go back to prison? Was it just being the abuse and the things that happened, or was it something even more?
You know, Susan, I was asked that question at Congress, actually, and it's a great question. The what I say to people is this: every person has a bottom. What that bottom is, we don't know. A person could be drinking and driving and almost kill somebody in a car, go home, shake, and understand that that was their bottom. They'll never drink and drive again. There might be a person who goes to county jail for a night and realizes, this is not for me. I'm never going to do what I did to get me in here. Well, when I was in prison, it took me to go to the low of my low, which was the hole, which is solitary confinement, or they call it the SHU in prison. So when you hit your bottom and low, whatever that is, and everybody is different, that's when you realize what you're going to do in life and you're going to truly change. And that's, you know, sadly, some people have to hit their low in a really low place.
Well, I'm sorry for that. I wish more people would hit it, though, honestly, you know, because then there'd be more Larry Lawtons.
All right.
Let's talk about the Reality Check program. What is it? And it's about, what, 5 years old now?
Well, no, it's about 4 years old.
It's
truly reached national acclaim. We are used by the Department of Justice in Washington. I've been to Congress. The Reality Check program is a four-part program that I developed, which is based on my life, what prison is really like, Susan, not what you see on TV shows, what you're going to lose, and the most important part of the DVD and what I do, and I speak around the country, is avoiding and dissolving bad associations. So I developed this program, and now it is used by courts all over. In Florida here, it's used widely. Every day, kids and young adults, 19, 20, are sentenced to the Reality Check program. And our results are off the charts. 90% of the kids don't go back to prison.
Let me just read. These are kids who were either sentenced to prison or this is an alternative to sentencing, right?
Yes, it's a pretrial diversion program, or they're actually sentenced to my program instead of going to prison. And, you know, the best part of my program, Susan, a lot of people don't understand, is I do this for people who are not even in the prison system, and that's being proactive. A person being proactive wants to help their young, you know, their teenage son who's making those bad choices understand where they're heading. So that is the key.
As soon as there's a whiff of trouble, you want to take proactive efforts.
You know, Susan, what we have found out is that at about 11 or 12, a person truly understands the consequences of their action. Under that, they might know it's wrong to touch a stove and it's hot, but they don't understand the consequence of burnt fingers or, you know, a fire in the house. They don't understand the total ramifications. At that age, our program is geared for 11 and up for that reason.
Okay. And you have a DVD also that's used all over the country. And talk a little bit about that.
Sure. The DVD is actually a 67-minute version of the Reality Check program. And it is broken into those four parts. And it's very, very powerful, Susan. It's been a quantitative analysis was done, an independent quantitative analysis was done by a college, and that's where we got all our high results. Because I show pictures of my kids, I show pictures of a very, you've seen the tape too, so it's very powerful in the message of, one, where you're going to head if you keep doing what you're doing, but it's also hope. And we've met, Susan, and that's where I think we connected, because you show people, even victims, and, you know, victims and even people who go to prison become victims. So we're all showing hope, and I think that's what's so powerful about the DVD.
And you do also some amazing work down there in Florida. I know you have there's golf tournaments and all sorts of things that you're involved in now.
Well, what I've done, Susan, is we created a foundation to help people, at-risk kids, and since the Reality Check program is nationally recognized, and it's we opened a nonprofit for at-risk kids who can't afford, parents who can't afford it, and we do stuff of that nature. So we do things very cost-effective to try to keep them from going back to prison or even getting. And the golf tournament, and I also did, and I'd like to touch on, I started a program for ex-cons where we call it Reality Check New Life Mobile Auto Detailing and Pressure Cleaning. And we're keeping ex-cons, trying to keep them out of prison by giving them honest, hard work outdoors. Remember, I'm an expert on coming out and readapting to society because I've done it. So, and that is a big project we have underway. Besides, you know, we have a parenting program coming out this year as well, Susan, and you know about my book as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about that book in one second, but it's very important. One of the things, one of my guests coming up is talking about a program to help ex-cons stay out of jail by going into business or by getting work or training them to work. It's so important that they often don't have any real skills, and people are not so anxious to hire them either. You know, there's a trust level. So if they can be kind of certified by a reliable organization like the Reality Check program, you know, that's going to go a long way towards them getting hired. So I think that is tremendous. We need a whole lot more of that.
You know, Susan, that's so true. And we not only do that, I ended up hiring a national sales rep from AT&T, a guy named Chris Lewis, who's well known on just doing what you just said, understanding the bigger picture to helping people, because everybody in our organization, Susan, has to be excited about helping people and understanding the bigger picture of the Reality Check program, which is keeping people out of jail and creating, and I always say this, less victims. And that's why I like what you do so much, because, you know, if we have less crime, we have less victims. That is really the big picture. And a lot of people don't understand it. They think, oh, lock them up. Well, they're going to get out. And if we don't give them rehabilitation, if we don't do the right things, we're going to have more victims instead of less victims.
As much rehabilitation in jail that we can, if there's anything that works, and get them some help afterwards, and maybe we can have less victims. I agree. And by the way, if you have to check out Larry's website. It's lawton911.org. Okay, lawton911.com and realitycheckprogram.org, so I get confused.
Yeah, and Susan, if you just Googled my name, Larry Lawton, you'd see a Wikipedia. There's everything out there on what we do, so
I urge my listeners to do that, because Larry is a very convincing dude. I mean, he's scary, and he's got tattoos all over, and he's got that prison look to him. I think he'd be very, very convincing in terms of scaring me about what prison would be really like. So you're a really good advertisement for what you do. Now, very quickly, before we're coming up to a break, exciting things happening in 2012, right? Got the book.
You know, the book is just so, it was just completed. I did a book with a 7-time New York Times bestseller, Peter Golenbach, who has books with George Steinbrenner, Tony Curtis, Streets of Brooklyn. He has many books, Peter Golenbach, and he did my book, and we just completed it with him and I, almost 2 years, Susan, and he said it was the best book he ever did. It truly is amazing, Susan, when you read it. The opening page has about me being tortured, and you want to keep reading. But, at the end...
Yeah, the full story is very compelling. What's the name of the book, Larry?
The name of the book is called Gangster Redemption, and it's called Gangster is How Ex-Con Larry Lawton's Life Has Inspired Thousands of Kids to Stay Out of Prison, A Good Fella Becomes a Good Guy, How America's Most Notorious Jewel Thief Got Rich, Got Caught, and Got His Life Back on Track.
Fabulous.
So
when is it?
It will be out on the bookshelves, I'm sure, within 2 or 3 months. I have some meetings with New York people coming up here real quickly. So it's
all
a
right.
Major project. And it's 330 pages. It's not like a little book. You know, it's kind
all
of
right, I expect my autographed copy in the mail in about 3 months.
You will get it. You know that, Susan.
I know I will. And where can people find, can we pre-order? Is it going to be on Amazon? Where will we find this?
I'm sure it will be everywhere for downloads, for the Kindles and Amazon. And I don't know what publishing, you know, we're in the negotiation stages now, because we really want a bestseller out of it. And, yes, it'll be everywhere. And if you go to my website, Lawton911.com, and just go, you know, email us there and say you want the book, we'll put you on that list. And, by all means, we will get the book out. It's an amazing book. It really was. Very hard book to do, too, Susan, because it brought back a lot of emotions and a lot of things. Losing my children and stuff like that. So, it was a tough one.
I can't wait, Larry. I can't wait to read it. All right. We're coming up on a break. Larry's sticking around with me. He's going to be my partner in crime tonight for the rest of the show. Lawton911.com. You check him out. Next up, a former crack dealer who's now a prolific author. He turned his life around, and he's been selling his books in the New York City subways. Can't wait for you to hear this story.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Violence, theft, drugs, graffiti, it's all part of joining a gang. In times like these, we need to protect our kids and our community from gangs. Gangs often prey on teens with low self-esteem who perform poorly in school and who seek a sense of belonging. Protect kids from gangs. Know who they're hanging out with. Encourage them to become involved in school activities. Give kids a positive alternative to gangs. To learn more, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hello, yes, it's Susan Bartlestone. This is Crime Prevention 101, where we have an optimistic perspective on a very sober subject. Don't forget, you can find me on Twitter. It's @CrimePrevent101. I'm on Facebook. It's Susan Bartlestone. Please come join the movement. One quick thing I want to mention before we get back to my guests. It's been estimated that 1 to 2 million children will be sold into prostitution or slavery in 2012. And January 11 has been designated National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, a time for everyone to take a stand against the sexual exploitation of these helpless children and teenagers. But you know what? Every day should be an awareness day, and it's time we all took a stand. So I want you to check out the Somali Mom Foundation. It's S-O-M-A-L-Y-M-A-M Foundation. For information about this and ways you can help, it's www.somali.org. All right, now let's meet our ex-con turned author. I found out about Randy Pierce through an article in my favorite New York City newspaper, which describes how after a 20-year criminal history, including 13 years in prison, this ex-con crack dealer spent so many years writing about his experiences, and when he got out, he became a writer. And he's been speaking at seminars all over the country, and inspiring other ex-cons to change their life like he did. He's appeared on the Colbert Report and Investigation Discovery, and he's now the author of 5 motivational books that he sells mostly in the New York City subways. Randy, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
And say hi to Larry Lawton, my partner in crime tonight.
What up, Larry? How you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, brother? Hope all's well, and you're doing great work. Keep it up.
Hey, same to you, man. Same to you. Thank you.
Sounds like he is. Now, Randy, talk a little bit about your background. When did your criminal career begin? What did you do, and what led you into prison?
Well, my criminal background, I guess, expands actually further than when I just got convicted for the drug conspiracy. As a youngster, I got into a lot of different mischief and stuff like that. Wasn't bad in school, just bored, started hanging out. I never say I hung out with the wrong crowd because I was the wrong crowd. So I pretty much just got involved in a lot of different mischief.
Randy, you grew up where, in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Come from a very stable background. I don't fit the stereotypical format of a dysfunctional family, anything like that. I come from a very good family, had good morals, good upbringing, but unfortunately just made some bad choices and decisions.
Now, in the 90s, you had a 25-man crew, right? That was selling the crack.
Yeah, when the crack hit the streets of New York, nobody could have imagined how terrible this drug would become. Nobody could imagine how destructive it would become all over the United States. Unfortunately, I was one of the pioneers of that era in my community in New York, and I spread it from New York all the way down to North Carolina. Actually, we were like 25 to 40 deep when it came to our crew. We were spread out in 3 cities throughout North Carolina and New York, and that's something that I'm not proud of. I'm not really proud of that. And when I heard you about to introduce me and you said that I was a former crack dealer, that's something that I'm, you know, not really proud of, even though I have to, you know, admit that that's part of my past, but that's part of the past that I don't like. But, you know, it is what it is.
And and it was very lucrative, right? About $100,000 a month coming in. It's pretty tempting, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, as a youngster, I mean, the money was coming in hands over foot. I don't know how much. I mean, I've touched a lot of money. I don't even know exactly the figures. I mean, we were just making it, spending it, partying with it, doing pretty much what we wanted to do. And, I mean, it was a time that money was in the criminal underground. I mean, the money was just flowing freely at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs were on the street abundantly. I mean, it was just a crazy period. And even as I think about that period of my life, I mean, a lot of times it's just like a blur because everything was just happening so fast and it was so easy to get sucked into that lifestyle. I mean, either I've seen a lot of good people turn bad and a lot of bad people turn worse. I mean, it was just a crazy time.
Sure. Now, Larry, weren't you running around Brooklyn in the 90s?
Oh, sure. I was very heavy in Brooklyn in the 90s, all the way up to when I went to prison in 96.
You
and
guys may have crossed paths somehow.
You never know. You never know. In that type of lifestyle, you never know.
You know, all right.
Randy, in 1992, you got arrested, and you spent about 13 of a 15-year sentence, right, in prison?
Yeah, in 92, I was at the end of my run, I was wanted by several different law enforcement agencies spread out throughout New York to North Carolina. I was eventually indicted through the federal system. Was actually pled guilty to 15 years. So it was either that or life. And pretty much, I mean, that was it. That was the end of that story. But it's the beginning of the new story that I actually started while I was incarcerated. But, yeah, the 92 was when it all came crashing down.
And what made you change While you were in prison, you started to write. What made you change and know that you were not going to go back to crime when you got out? What happened?
I get asked that question a lot of times, and I mean, there are several different things that I can point to that say that would be instrumental in me wanting to change. If I had to boil down to three of them, it would be the fact that I did not want to repeat the mistakes that I made that landed me in prison. I've seen a lot of older guys, 60, 70, walking around the prison yard, and I didn't want to be like that. So I knew that I had to accept and embrace change. Change is not easy. Another thing is that my mother, you know, I put her through a lot, and she stuck by me even when I was at my worst, at my lowest, and at my down period. She stuck by me. She still believed in me. I wanted to show her that all of the sacrifices and things that she made for me wasn't in vain, and just also wanting to rewrite what would have been a tragic end to a promising story of my life. Just wanted to take control of what my destiny would be like and not become or not be just another statistic that would just whittle away after being through all the things that I've been through.
Amen.
What people don't understand, Randy, and I think you do and I do, is that you can do and have same success you did on the street as you do, you know, doing bad, as doing good. And once you get
definitely.
That feeling, that's what it's
definitely.
About.
Definitely. And one of the things that I tell people all the time, especially young people, if you put the same amount of energy, determination, and passion into doing the right thing as you do when you're doing the wrong thing, you're going to succeed doing the right thing. Because, I mean, people think crime or committing crime is just like, it's easy. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of thinking, a lot of ingenuity. It takes a lot of patience. I mean, there's a lot goes into just doing crime. So if you can channel that energy into doing something that's positive and that's legal, you will be successful. Because if the average criminal that is in the street, he spends a good amount of time honing his craft, whatever it is. He's coming up with new ways to approach whatever he's doing. He's coming up. He has to look out for the cops. He has to be on guard. He's on parties. All of these things took into consideration.
Let me interrupt you now, because I agree, but I don't want us to run out of time. I know you've written 5 books. That's amazing to me. You've got a new book coming out. What's the name of the new book? Because I want
the name
to
of the
know
new,
about
the name. Of, the name of the new book that's coming out to be out next month is called From Prison to Prosperity, The Randy Kidd Story, and it tells my story from childhood to this incredible journey that I've been on from childhood until now, being incarcerated, the mistakes that I've made, how I was able to overcome adversity and the talent to change. I mean, it's a wonderful story about redemption. It's a wonderful story about being able to take a negative situation and turn it into a positive opportunity. The book that I'm most known for right now is called Changing Your Game Plan, How to Use Incarceration as a Stepping Stone for Success. And it's more like a blueprint and guide on how to use that time if you're incarcerated, how to use it to your best advantage, how to get something positive out of that experience. But it's not just about being incarcerated. It's about your life. It's about how you were able to, look at something and turn it into the good. I've had a lot of people who read my book who've never even had a pair of handcuffs on them, and they're telling me that my book has had a major impact on their life, because it's about somebody who was at the low point of their life and just need to make some changes and not afraid to face that challenge to change. And, you know, I've also co-written a book called From Incarceration to Incorporation with a friend of mine, another gentleman called J.M. Benjamin. We met while we were incarcerated, and everything that we're doing to this day is born out of those conversations we had when we were incarcerated, walking the yard, going to chow, and talking about all of these wonderful things that we're going to do, get back to the community, help our young people, and it's been wonderful. I also wrote a book called The Writing Game, How to Print, Publish, and Profit in the book industry, and I wrote Street Talk, The Official Guide to Hip-Hop and Urban Slanguage.
And And you sold all
I was wondering if you guys are still there.
We're here. I mean, I'm just in awe here because I've written my one little book here. But you sold 14,000 copies of your books on the city subway. It's unbelievable to me. But if
yeah, I mean,
not
it's been a great experience. I mean, I've met a lot of people. The New York Daily News did an article on me twice. The New York Times did an article on me. I've been in several other leading magazines and newspapers. But what I try to show people again, the same tactics that I used when I was out there selling illegal narcotics is the same tactics that I use today when I'm selling my books. I'm up early. I'm out in the street. I'm interacting with people. It's just the same kind of approach that I use, and it's been successful. So, yeah, I'm very well known down in the subway for selling my books.
Right,
and Randy, I'd like to say, Randy, what everybody doesn't know, isn't it a great feeling to get up knowing every day the cops aren't going to knock on your door and arrest you?
Oh, yeah, man. Listen, I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. I mean, just to know that, I mean, you're living a righteous life now, and you don't have to have that worry of somebody always looking at you, or you wonder, looking over your shoulder and stuff like that. I mean, it's a blessing to wake up in the morning and just to know that you don't have that fear of what's going to happen because you're doing something wrong. That's one of the most, it's one of the most beautiful feelings in the world. And what I like to tell people, nobody's born a criminal. You know, let's get that straight now. Nobody's born a criminal. We learn those behaviors in whatever environment that we find ourselves in, whether we're influenced through the media, TV, through an older relative, or whatever culture that we find ourselves following. Nobody's born a criminal. We learn those things. So when you find yourself in a situation where you fell victim to those influences and you wind up in situations that put you where you have been incarcerated, now it's about relearning the things that you already know. I mean, the things that we do now, we already knew these things, but we just threw those things to the wayside because we had a different approach and we thought that we can get it faster, quicker, slicker when we was in the street. But I mean, nobody's born a criminal.
Randy, this is great. I hate to cut you off, but we're coming up
to
the break. From Prison to Prosperity, the Randy Keir story coming out. For those people that don't ride the New York City subways, how can they get a hold of you? How can they get your book and have you come and lecture to them?
Yeah, they can find me at Randy Keir's. .net, RandyKearse.net. They can email me at RandyKearse@yahoo.com. They can look me up on, they can Google me, Randy Kearse, again, RandyKearse. They can order my books online, Amazon. I got the DVD versions coming out to two of my books coming out soon. I'm in a couple of documentaries this year. I'm trying to get out into the public to speak to these young people and just travel and just spread this message of change, man. And Larry, keep doing what you're doing, man, because, I mean, they need people to show them that, you know, we can change. Like, I mean, it's just a matter of wanting to do the right thing, and you can do the right thing.
When Larry comes up to New York again, I'm going to hook you two guys up, okay?
Sure. I'll take them out to lunch and we can sit down and we can talk about it. I'd love to take him on the subway. I'd love to take him on the subway so he can sell some of his books.
All right, Larry. You haven't been on the subway in a while, right? I know you haven't. All right.
Keep it up, Randy.
Thank you
so much, Randy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Randy,
take care.
All right, and Larry and I will be right back, and we're going to be talking about a very unique program for ex-defenders that has helped almost 600 become tax-paying businessmen.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
You're walking alone. A group of people is hanging out just ahead. Suddenly, they surround you.
Hey, yo, where you going? Come here.
Before you know it, you're being robbed. It's called a pack robbery, a robbery involving a group of assailants, and it can be violent. In times like these, trust your instincts. Don't become their next victim. Avoid suspicious groups. Avoid desolate or poorly lighted areas. Be aware of your surroundings. To learn more about pack robberies, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hello again. Yes, we're back. And don't forget, Crime Prevention 101 is available on iTunes. We can be with you wherever you go. One more resource for you on human trafficking. It's called ECPAT-USA, ECPAT-USA, and this is a worldwide network of organizations working to eliminate commercial sexual exploitation. It's www.ecpatusa.org. And don't worry if you didn't get that, because I'm going to be posting all the resources that I mentioned and contact information for all my guests on my crimeprevention101.com blog. So it's right there in the show notes. All right. Now, at the beginning of the show, I quoted a statistic that two-thirds of ex-cons released from prison are going to relapse back into a life of crime. And very often that is because there are no opportunities for them in terms of getting decent jobs and rehabilitating themselves. So I want to introduce you now to Ryan Holly, who is the Director of Marketing and Recruiting for Defy Ventures, which provides men with criminal histories, and he gives them some very special opportunities that help them not return to a life of crime. And we've got also, Jose Vasquez, who's one of their clients, who's going to come on in a little while, too, and talk about what he's doing in the program. So, Ryan, Jose, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Awesome. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for having us on.
All right, and say hi to Larry Lawton, who's kind of a one-man Defy Ventures on his own.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear your story.
How you doing, man?
Ryan.
Good work.
Very quickly, Ryan, what is Defy Ventures? How did it get started?
All right, so Defy Ventures is a entrepreneurship and leadership development program for guys specifically with criminal histories. What we do is we take guys who have leadership skills already, maybe they used to be ex-gang leaders or drug dealers, have done time in prison, and we take those natural raw talents and we try to channel them to the right direction. So what we do is we put them through an MBA-like course, also match them up with private sector mentoring. We host a business plan competition where the guys can win actual seed funding of up to $100,000 to start their companies. And we try to launch them into the world. We try to get them from where they're at into the private sector. We put them around new people, new areas, and new ideas.
Now, this is a new program, right? It's new in New York City, right? And it was founded by Catherine Rohr. Talk a little bit about the program that this is based on.
Yeah, no problem. So Catherine Rohr used to be a venture capitalist here in New York City. So what she did with her time is she spent her days scouring America looking for opportunity. On a rare prison trip to Texas one time, she saw a lot of opportunity there. Make a long story short, she cashed out her high-paying job in New York City, moved to Texas where she founded the Prison Entrepreneurship Program. That program ran for 5 years under Catherine's leadership. They turned out 500 graduates. 60 of those graduates started their companies that are running successfully to this day. Like you said before, two-thirds of men that get out of prison end up going back for lack of opportunity. We were able to capture an average of 10% with the Prison Entrepreneurship Program. Only 10% of the guys who graduated the program ended up going back to prison. And more importantly than that, we did a lot of leadership development, character development. We wanted the guys to be good citizens, good fathers, and people who are really giving back to the community.
That is just amazing to me. I saw the statistics. Over 600 graduates in 5 years in the Texas program.
Correct.
And less than 10% went back to crime, which is, I think, is amazing. And I think graduates started 60 companies, moving companies, hedge fund companies.
Right. A lot of people will oftentimes ask me, well, what are the types of companies they start? Like, what do you guys tell them to do? And I'm like, well, that's interesting. We don't tell them to do anything. They come with their minds. We kind of give them the skills to turn what they already know into a business, and we see everything. We see some of the most creative ideas in the world, and we see some guys, like, they don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. They take something that's already working well, they take their management skills, and they jump into the game. So,
Ryan, what you really did, which I really respect, is you actually found people that are willing to work hard because of the situation. Once they've hit that bottom, they realize what hard work, and now you're just taking their God-given skills that they already have and really putting it towards positive things. So it's a really positive program you got working.
Correct. Thank you very much.
And Larry, that was just the question I was going to ask them. What do you look for in your candidates? I'm assuming that you have a kind of rigorous screening process for this.
Yeah, so we put the guys through a very rigorous selection process. They have to go through a number of interviews. Some of them last up to 10 to 12 hours. Some of them are a little bit shorter, like 30 to 45 minutes. But it's not necessarily intelligence level that we're looking for. Obviously, the guys need to have the ability to be able to study hard. We do an MBA-like course. We teach from the NIFTY curriculum, so it is pretty, it's a college level curriculum, so they need to be able to keep up with that. But more importantly,
they need to have a high school or college degree or something, which they may not have.
High school diploma or a GED will get them into the program.
Okay.
But at that point, we're not necessarily looking for that. We're actually looking for guys who have tons of drive, are willing to commit to having a lot of life change, have natural leadership skills. We like guys who are very salesy, know how to manage people, and also, we're trying to turn out a person who's going to, like, affect their communities. So we want people who have some say-so in their neighborhoods already. That way, when they start doing the right thing, then they're influencing others to do the right thing as well.
You know, Ryan, what I have done with my mobile detailing company to help other ex-cons is I give them also my training, and I give them, like, your analysis as myself, because true change has nothing to do with probation or the system. It has to do with the person. So I actually made up a whole list of things that I actually do as well with people who truly want to change and then capitalize on that as well.
Correct.
Yeah, well, you have to do that. All right, then. Now, Larry, we've got one of the Defy Venture clients with us. So let's meet Jose Vasquez. Hello, Jose.
Hello, Jose. Thank you. Hello, how you doing?
Jose, tell us briefly about your background, what you were convicted of, jail time, and what you're planning on doing now with the program.
Okay, great. Oh, well, my name is Jose Vasquez. I'm 26 years old. I'm originally from New York City. In 2009, I was convicted for selling drugs, at which point I was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. I decided to move to New York City in search of opportunity, in search of change, and just start a new life. I was lucky enough to be one of the lucky guys that got into Defy Ventures. And right now I'm really just working on starting a business of sanitizing / advertising business right now.
Sanitizing, what was it?
Hand sanitizing / advertising business.
Right, he'd be putting something on a hand sanitizer in maybe a bathroom and using it as marks.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Interesting. Now, how did you find out about Defy Ventures, and how did you get attracted to that business? Because it was not a business I would have thought of.
Well, the way I found out first of Defy Ventures was through a focus group, through another program that I first attended when I first was released from prison. And then the way I thought of the sanitizing was just, I feel there's a need. I travel on the train a lot. So I commute over 3 hours daily to get to work. So a lot of times I'm on the train and people sneeze and hold the tubes that then at that same moment I have to hold on to. So it's just sometimes I wish that there's a sanitizing so when I come out the train, And I did a little bit of research, and I seen how expensive advertising in, like, let's say, MTA is. It's tremendous how much money people would pay just to have their either product or service to be advertised in the train station.
I think that's...
Hey, Ryan, I have a question for you. Ryan, what is there an age limit and a offense that is either not acceptable or... And what's the age limit, either high or low? Program.
Okay, so there's no cap. You can be 115 years old and get into the program if you can get up and get down there every day. But we accept guys who are 16 years of age or older as long as they have a high school diploma or GED. That's not, we really don't focus on youthful offenders, but like I said, guys who are showing that leadership and showing that hustle that we look for, they might have their GED or high school diploma already, so we will definitely accept them. As far as the case goes, a lot of programs will shy away from guys with violent crime. We don't necessarily focus on them, but we have like a saying, we love violent criminals. One, because statistically with PEP and with our program, they should do a lot better. A lot of times these guys have done a little bit more time, and their turnaround is bigger. So, the larger crime they did, the more effect it had on their life. They're willing to make a bigger change. And they got that chance to spend a lot of time in prison, like studying, turning their life around. So we have to do better with that population.
You know, and Ryan, also, I'll give you a little hint. Also, the violent criminals or the people who do very risky crimes are probably better entrepreneurs because they're risk takers.
Correct. So entrepreneurship means willing to take a risk, and we definitely look for those guys as well. Correct.
Sure.
Now, Ryan, what about women? Can women come into the program too, or is it just for the guys? Or are you planning something for women?
All right, so PEP was inside the prison. It was based on men only. And we came in New York City, actually, males and females can be accepted into the program. So what we're looking to do is we're looking to scale the Five Ventures. Basically, the idea is PEP works so well. It works so well as a opportunity for guys to turn recidivism right around. So we want to get to this to as many urban areas in America as possible. So the idea is that we're starting the pilot here, building it successfully, and then we're going to scale out. We're doing L.A. next, Chicago, and then the sky's the limit from there.
Right. Larry's down in Florida. His ears are perked up. I know they are. So,
I think anything positive, Susan, with helping ex-cons, like the numbers are 41% to 64% of ex-cons do go back. So I think it's important what Ryan and DeFi is really trying to do. So.
All right. I think this is fantastic. And where did you say that the $150,000 that the lucky graduate is going to get to start his business, where does that come from?
So actually, we're totally privately funded. We look for people from the private sector to get involved as donors, mentors, business plan coaches, business plan judges. By the way, if there's anybody out there in the New York City area that wants to get involved, they can email info@defiventures.org if they want to get some information about that. But all of our funding comes from the private sector as well. So these are people a lot of times are either self-made entrepreneurs, large company owners, corporation owners. They get involved with us, and they put in the money for those companies to get started.
So would you be looking for someone to help Jose get the advertising on the sanitizers business off the ground? You do that kind of thing for the trainees?
Absolutely. So each guy is matched up with a mentor in class, a business mentor. So we have a large network. With PEP, the network was 7,500 people large. So each graduate had a number of people that he could reach out to for help. We're trying to replicate that with the Five Ventures as well. So what we would do is we would look at people in a network, people who had advertising experience. We would match Jose up with a guy like that. That way that he get as much business mentorship and life mentorship as possible.
Hey, Ryan, do you have an intern program? Like I would take a person down here and show them marketing or, branding of some sort like that. Do you have an intern where they would go into a company and see a functioning company?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually we're doing internships in the company. We also do what's called an externship, where the guys are paired up with people from our network, and they go out and work inside the company for free to, one, gain the job experience. And we do what is called job leads, not job placement. We don't promise the guys anything in class. We just promise to give them a great education, we teach them to go get their own jobs. That's one of the things that made PPP so successful. They had a 98% employment rate within 3 weeks of the guys getting out of prison, but they didn't promise them anything. They didn't go get anything for them. They just taught them how to hustle on their own, and go out into the world and get it. So we are doing externships for the guys to get some experience under their belt as well, though.
Fantastic.
Well, they know how to hustle. You just got to guide them.
That's exactly the right way. And that's the approach, I think, right? You give him a fish, and he can't fish for himself. I love it.
Exactly.
Ryan, Jose, best of luck to you. It's defyventures.org for more information about it. I'm going to post the link. Great to have you on the show, and what you guys are doing is inspiring, and I want to see more Defy Ventures all over the country. If I can help you, I will.
Awesome. Guys can go ahead and apply online if they want to as well. Thank you, Susan.
Fantastic. And Larry?
And email me anytime, guys.
Thank you very
awesome.
Much.
Larry, I want to thank you for helping me out and being with me tonight. It's always a blast, you know, having you on and hearing about the great work that you're doing. And we're coming up to a quick break. We'll be right back with a special message for all my wonderful Crime Prevention 101 listeners.
Thanks for having me, Susan.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Every day, people are afraid to report violent crimes. In times like these, choosing to report a crime or helping the police can be a difficult decision. A no-snitching culture has sprung up in our communities, making it unpopular and sometimes even dangerous to report a crime. Do the right thing by calling 911 or your local crime tip line. If you're the victim of a crime, report it. If you know about a crime, report it. To learn more about how to do the right thing, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
And there is no place else that Susan Bartlestone would rather be than right here with you on Crime Prevention 101. Now, before I sign off tonight, I just want to tell everyone that I'm going to be going on a much-needed vacation for a short while. So this is going to be my last show for the month. And as I was looking back and, you know, reflecting on the last year and the coming year, and, you know, I was shocked to realize it's been almost 4 years that I've been doing this show. I still can't believe it. And during that time, this show has grown and developed, you know, in just ways that I never would have anticipated when I started back in 2008. I've met so many incredible guests, people like Larry Lawton, who've become friends, many others who've inspired me and who taught me so much about the triumphs of the human spirit under the most horrible circumstances imaginable. And I'm also very proud. I talked about this before, but, you know, Crime Prevention 101 was nominated for a U.S. Attorney General's National Crime Victim Service Award in 2011. This comes from the U.S. Office for Victims of Crime and the U.S. Attorney General's Office. The show was also given a very prestigious leadership award for our contribution in educating people about domestic violence. And this is by the amazing Violence Intervention Project in New York City. And it's the only organization here that works with Spanish-speaking and immigrant victims of domestic violence. And then I was personally honored for my work on the board of directors of the New York Women's Agenda, which represents several hundred thousand women's voices And I was at an award breakfast attended by 700 people, and I was sitting on the dais right behind Billie Jean King. Amazing. And such amazing people, that was an amazing event for me. My greatest honor, however, has been the many emails and posts from all my listeners, from you, over the years. I can't possibly express my gratitude for your support and good wishes, and please know that it has been my privilege to help you keep yourself safe. Continue to contact me. Post your comments on my Facebook page, which is Susan Bartlestone. You can email me, solutions@fightsafe.com. I'll be checking them during my time off. I will answer all my messages like I always do. Also, you can find my past shows archived on my blog, crimeprevention101.com. And I post tons of safety tips there on all kinds of crime prevention topics. I post articles there. I've got the links to all the shows in the show and the show notes, all the resources that I mentioned, like the groups that are fighting human trafficking, all my guest information there. You go there, please use it as a resource, and whatever you want, send me your ideas for upcoming shows that you'd like me to tackle when the show comes back on the air. And until Crime Prevention 101 is back on the air, I want you to stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guests, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.